Yes, Lee was watching his eyes. Heath grimaced, blowing, "Well, sir, they wouldn't leave. My boys got the dander up. We deployed the whole division and went after them. We just about had them running, and then all of a sudden I see us moving in on infantry. They got infantry support up from the south. The boys got pushed back. Then we reformed and tried again. Couldn't stop there, sir. But there's more infantry now. I don't know how many. But I don't know what else we could have done. Sir, I'm sorry. But it started out as a minor scrap with a few militia, and the next thing I know, I'm tangling with half the Union Army."
"Who are they?"
"Sir?"
Lee was watching the fight, which was now relatively quiet. The smoke was clearing, blowing toward the north. He could see blue troops moving in the trees on the Union right, moving out on the flank. He looked north, but he could see nothing beyond the ridge. The blue troops seemed to be pulling back that way, retreating, reforming. Strange. The battery up by the cupola had stopped firing. Riding up through the haze, Dorsey Pender. Letter from a pious wife. To Heath, Lee said, "What units have you engaged?"
"The cavalry was Buford, sir. Two brigades. They really fought. Then there was the First Corps, the Black Hats, John Reynolds' old corps. Then there was another corps, but we still haven't got it identified."
At Lee's shoulder, Taylor said quietly, insistently, "General, you are in range of the enemy batteries?" Lee said, "It's quiet now." He looked once more at Heath. His anger died. No time for blame. But there must be information. Taylor insisted, "You gentlemen are standing together. May I suggest that you move at least to the shelter of the trees?" There was a sudden fire on the left, a burst in the north. Lee felt an acute spasm of real anger. He clutched his chest.
"I know nothing,"
Heath said. "I'd better look to my flank." He moved away. A rider came up, courier from Rhodes.
"General Rhodes, compliments, sir. I have the honor to inform you that the general has joined the engagement with his entire division and is attacking the Union right. He begs me to inform you that General Early is behind him and will be on the field within the hour. Do you have any instructions, sir?"
Lee felt a thrill of delight mixed with alarm. Rhodes had come in right on the Union flank. The blue troops were turning to meet a new threat. And Early was close behind, a flank assault already begun. Lee sat staring north. No way to tell. He could order forward the entire army. Heath was here and Pender. Rhodes' attack might almost have been planned. But he did not know how many Federals were ahead. Rhodes might be attacking half the Union army, another Sharpsburg. And yet I cannot call him back. He is already committed. Lee said,
"Nothing for now. Wait here."
He turned to Taylor. "I want all possible knowledge of the enemy's strength. Ride forward yourself and observe. And be careful." Taylor saluted formally and rode off, the grin breaking across his face just as he turned. Lee turned and began heading back toward the road. Now Heath was back.
"Sir, Rhodes is heavily engaged. Shall I attack?"
Lee shook his head, then said loudly,
"No!"
He rode on. Then he said over his shoulder, "We are not yet prepared for a full engagement. Longstreet is not up."
Heath said, "There aren't that many of the enemy, sir. What are your casualties?"
"Moderate, sir. There's been some fighting, but Pender is in position. Together, sir, we could sweep them."
Lee waited. It did not feel right. There was something heavy and dark and tight about the day, riding stiffly in the broad, barren field in harsh sunlight. The firing in the north was mounting. Batteries of artillery had opened up.
"Who is commanding there?"
Lee pointed to the hills beyond the town. Heath blinked, suddenly remembering.
"Sir, I'd forgotten. We have word that General Reynolds was killed."
Lee turned.
"John Reynolds?"
"Yes, sir. Prisoners state he was killed this morning. I believe Doubleday has succeeded him."
"Are you sure?"
"The news seems reliable." I'm sorry, Lee said. His mind flashed a vision of Reynolds, a neat, trim man, a gentleman, a friend. Lee shook his head. It was queer to be so strange and tight in the mind. He seemed unable to think clearly. Reynolds dead. Gone. Doubleday behind him. Doubleday an unknown quantity, but certainly nothing spectacular. But Reynolds' first core was solid. What to do?